What was the focus of your academic studies and then later career?
Right, okay. I'm a food scientist. And a nutritionist. I've always been interested in food. My first job was in food, my first degree. My first job in food inspection, actually, in the Midlands. My master's degree was in food science, a PhD in nutrition. And subsequently, I've been in the academic world, leading departments. We went to Scotland with the family and to Aberdeen, and I led a large department there for about 9 years. Came back to Manchester, led an even bigger department there for about 15 years until I retired 2008, something like that. And I've also had a number of other roles besides that, beside which I've continued until quite recently. I've been worked for government departments in various roles. I've been a commissioner with the Meat and Livestock Commission, which was a Ministry of Agriculture, what's called an NDPB, non-departmental public body. I've worked for the European Commission in food safety, and done a whole load of other things. I still work for them now. I review research proposals and research products. I've done that. I did that for the European Commission. I have spoken. I've done radio and TV in food areas, mainly with food safety and food information, which is, I think, one of the things that interests me. I have an interest in nutrition, exercise physiology, which is what my PhD was in. Phil Pritchard and I have very interesting... Phil has strong ideas on diets, as all jockeys do, don't they? And we have very interesting debates about the merits of losing weight too quickly. Coincidentally, that was an area I was very... My PhD was in the area of energy balance. And so I have a real interest in that area. And I still keep it going. I still keep my brain going.
You ended up as Professor Moody.
Yes, so I made a professor when I came back to Manchester. Right. My PhD was in... I got there in 1984 at Nelbert Hall. And then was made a professor on returning to Manchester. You know, that was my last full-time appointment. The work I do for DEFRA and for the European Commission is basically ad hoc. I'm on their list of experts, and they would just ask me to do things for them, which is quite nice. I can squirrel away upstairs and get on with it, and usually have a deadline, but I can work when I'm freshest. So, yeah, I like to think I'm sort of keep busy and keep the brain going. It's lethal to retire. Well, you're not doing, I know that. But retire and stop. You retire and stop. It goes. You lose your marbles, and that's. I was never ever going to do that. I was never ever going to do that. And Jenny would say she would never let me. The thought of having me with nothing to do would drive her out of the house, I think.
Apart from returning to this area and returning to going to see matches at King's Home.
Yep.
You've joined the Players Association as well, I believe.
Yeah, I joined that and did the walk last year from Cirencester to Gloucester. Still got the scars on my feet to prove that. We did that in 2 days, actually. This was too much for me along that towpath for 18 miles. That was the previous one up to Birdlip and stay at the King's Head. Then downhill was okay, even though I blistered to hell, you know. It was great. Jenny came on that one. Yeah, we would enter into it as much as we can. You know, we'd get there and go to the do's and meet some of the older players. That's part of it, getting back involved and perhaps letting younger players meet up with younger players and giving them a bit of advice sometimes. Maybe, and usually most of them we talk to are pleased to hear from older players about how things were. I think it makes them realise how lucky they are with the support they get.
Yeah.
They got talent, all of them, but they got a lot of support. And but then they got they got their career riding on their game. One bad injury, a career. In our day, one bad injury was you limp into work. Mm-hmm. And that's a massive different pressure on them. Mm. It really is.
Mm. Right. What have we left out of this interview?
Well, I suppose one of the things is that one of the things that sort of I thought about when I first came back and Kim Jong was how many others would have followed an academic career from the club. I'm not. I mean, I don't. There were a lot of hundreds of players that I don't know and followed, and I'm not sure how many had. I know that there were, you know, a few that went into degree and higher degree work and professional status, but probably not too many. And it would be nice to know from this that maybe some of the players and people there got to know more about me. You know, it'd be quite good because I think I don't normally talk. I talk about rugby when I'm at King's Home. You know, and a lot of them won't know that I've got a sort of quite an interesting. I think it's an interesting academic background in a topic that everybody's an expert at, aren't they? Let's face it. You know, everybody's a food expert, and you've only got to get your mobile phone and you're a food expert. So it's always something of real interest. Everybody has a real interest in food can do something for you. You know, people want, pretty sportsmen, they always want and expect food to be able to be a magic pill, some benefit or otherwise. And the way one looks at evidence, and this is part of my skill set, really, looking at evidence, prescribing what evidence is needed, looking at it, assessing it, and reviewing it. And that's what I'm good at. That's one of the things I can do, and that takes quite a skill because many of the research pieces I look at are incredibly complex and underpinned by hundreds of separate pieces of research. So to be able to do that is not unique, but it's an important skill, and it's something that a lot of players probably would do well to think more about, rather than reading headlines from websites and Google and the rest of it, the catchy headline, which you can, and to do with food, you can make any piece of food research say anything. It's quite easy to do that. The misleading information that's out there is endless, and that's something I could probably, you know, could probably help more at King's Home.
I think the clubs are not just Gloucester. I think most of the clubs now have. Are much more aware of the short career span that their players have got, and they encourage them to take on other skills which could set them up with a job.
Yes.
When they come off the field.
Yes.
I think they think much more about that these days.
That's really good to hear. That is it. And a lot of them I know, a lot of them do struggle a bit when they finish. In the past they have. Because they've not thought carefully enough, and some who were stars at a very young age have maybe messed up their O levels and A levels, and haven't got much to lean on that in later years. Some will invest, take their salary, and invest in business and try and move on, which is great. But I mean, if they want to use their brain to earn their living, they need to keep that going. Just lose that initiative to learn, which is really important.
And of course, Gloucester have a professional nutritionist working at Hartbury.
They do, yes.
Keep a close eye on what they all eat.
Well, I think they do keep a very close eye. I mean, I was at the annual dinner the other Cheltenham the other night, a few weeks ago now, and Val Rapava Ruskin was sat on our table, a very large man in the right places. My wife sat next to his thighs. She'd never been the same since, actually. And he was cautious when he was eating. There was nothing shoveling down. I mean, some of the tales we have in our era of pre-match lunches make the nutritionist commit suicide, I would think. And that was always a tradition when you play away. You stop at a pre-arranged place and have a large lunch 2 hours before you play. Well, that would be unheard of, wouldn't it, now?
Yes, absolutely.
Carbohydrate loading, and they're all taking very careful, cautious ways. And that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing how much those sorts of diets actually directly benefit their fitness isn't a matter of discussion. But you certainly shouldn't eat to harm your... You could do that. You can eat to harm your performance. How much you can eat to, you know, specifically enhance your performance is always a matter of debate amongst physiologists and nutritionists, dietitians, but there's no doubt that a proper diet's very important for these professional athletes. Yeah.
In the 12 years that I've been working on Gloucester Rugby Heritage so far, I certainly haven't come across another professor who played for Gloucester.
No.
But I suppose that's a challenge as well to anybody listening to this interview.
Yes.
Can you tell us different?
Yeah, I'd love to know. And,
but at the moment, I think you're a unique critic.
The claim to fame, yeah. Isn't it? Really? So from a slow start, I suppose I'd always been interested in food, always thought that with food, there's a career there that everybody's going to always be interested in. You know, you're on a winner there, Richard. I thought, you know, always going to be interested in it. And I was always interested in science and scientific side. So that was what took me in that direction and kept me going, really. Because when I went to Leeds, I gave up a full-time, fully paid job then. I went back to being a student of being fully paid. And that takes some doing. And I'd always had confidence that when I came back, I would get ready and go into an academic career. And so it was, and that's how I sort of worked my way through. I've had to be prepared to travel around. You know, my wife's incredibly tolerant and supportive. Two little kids and a wife. We moved from London to Surrey to Scotland to Manchester. And she supported me every inch of the way. You know, to write a PhD whilst working full-time as a lecturer was 2 to 3 years of very hard work. Evenings, weekends, all my holidays, full-time writing. That was hard work. But it did pay off in the end, and I was lucky enough to be able to put my kids into top schools in Manchester, and you know, that's worked with them as well. So I've been fortunate, I suppose, made my own luck in a way, but fortunate enough to get them into some top schools, and it's paid off with their careers as well. So it's a nice feeling. I feel very sort of, sort of grateful really for being able to do that over the years. And here we are now, and ticking along.
Do you have anything else, Chris?
No, I think we've done very well.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, Richard. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for coming along.